You always go to the Lord's house, especially to get into the Word of God. We'll pick back up this where we were this morning. We're going back into the book of 1 Timothy, and I pray that the Lord might give us wisdom and understanding. We'll break it down a little bit more. Let's read the same text that we read this morning. Won't hurt us to do that. And I got to looking in the headings of my Bible this afternoon, and I seen over there where it even wrote in there, talked about the phrase in the epistle, about how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God. So let's stand and read together in the third chapter, starting with verse number 14 again. And Paul writing to Timothy and trying to give the church some instruction and some things that they need. He said, "These things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory." You can be seated. And let's pray together. Lord, give us wisdom and understanding tonight. Open our minds. Lord, take out any clouded issues that might be in our hearts and minds tonight as we sit in the house of God. And Lord, as we understand and undertake tonight the reading of the Word of God and the declaring of the Word of God, God, give us that understanding. And I pray the Spirit of God might direct every heart, every mind, every word. And Lord, draw us close to you, and may we do that which is needful. We'll give you the praise, the glory, and the honor, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As I said this morning, I'm not going to get into some of the stuff I got into this morning, but we know that our churches are in a mess, and we're not following the Word of God. We know that. And if we followed the Word of God, every church would believe the same. You know that? The Bible ain't written for, it's not of any private interpretation. Not of any private interpretation. There was some fellas sitting around in this talking, and some of them believe that you can be saved and lost, and others believe that you can be saved and eternally saved, and I believe there's some more in the crowd didn't even believe you could do anything. But anyhow, we know today that doctrines are messed up and churches are on the blink because of certain things, and that's why we've got what we've got in our society, and that's why we raising our children to be different, and they're looking at things. We've taken the Bible out. We know that. I'm not getting into that tonight. We've taken the Bible out of schools. We've taken the Bible out of our homes. Amen. And these is running around using different versions of the Scriptures. They've taken the Bible out of their home too. So therefore, the Bible's out of the heart. And when it is, we just do what we please, and we're living like it was in the days of the judges. The Bible said in the last chapter of the book of Judges, the last verse, it said they did that which is right in their own eyes. They're walking up and down the streets in America tonight. Anything they want to protest against, they're protesting against it. It don't make no difference where it's biblically based or where it's Bible-based. They just believe in tonight what they want to believe, and people are living like they want to live. That's got to change. Amen. Or we're going down the tube. And so I'm saying tonight that it needs to start at the house of God. Judgment must begin at the house of God. So we need to get ourselves in check. Now tonight I'm going to look at it just a little bit different. We know tonight that 1 Timothy's got 6 chapters. I've given you this before, but I'll give it to you again tonight. 113 verses, and chapter 5 is the longest chapter. Chapter 2 is the shortest chapter. And all the way through the first 6 chapters of the book of Timothy, Paul is talking about doctrine. Doctrine. We're going to get into that tonight. Doctrine. Our doctrine is important. Somebody said, "Well, it don't matter about doctrine." Oh, yes, it does. If our doctrine's not right, our life's not going to be right. Amen. We hang everything we've got tonight on the doctrines of the Word of God. Amen. It's not my doctrine. It's not your doctrine. It's the doctrine of the Word of God tonight. It's God's doctrine. Amen. Remember what I said many times, as a young preacher? I was my pastor, you know, I said under him, he's one I got saved under. He baptized me, and a little later I become his pastor in another state. And he told me one time, he said, Brother Dennis, he said, he was close to me. He was there when my wife, they thought she was going to die, my son, in the accident, and I was backslid on God. He's the one not only won me to the Lord to start with, but got me back on track with God. Amen. And when I realized I was backslid on God, and he spent hours, he's the preacher that I shut the doors on and turned out the lights to keep him from coming in my house. Amen. And to run away from him. I didn't want him around. And he was there when I needed him the most. Amen. And so he was there that night. And when they thought he was going to die, when they thought my family was going to pass away and I was going to lose them all, and he came back in the middle of the night. And I dedicated my life right there. And I thank God for it. But later I became his pastor. And he said to me, he said, Brother Dennis, he said, you'll be all right at this church if you don't preach doctrine. And I took that to heart. And I had an old-fashioned rock altar. How many knows what a rock altar is? All right. Amen. You pick up a little rock out of the churchyard or the woods or something as you're going down in the woods, and I'd go off down behind the church. I'd do it regularly on a daily basis, and I'd go down in the woods and pray before service started. We'd pile up a pile of rocks there, and we'd pray, seek the face of God, and I'd take that to the rock altar, and I'd say, God, help me. And I'd say, Lord, help me with this business of the doctrine. Make sure I'm right. And I thought about it. But then the Lord reminded me at the old rock altar. He said to reprove and rebuke and all long-suffering and doctrine. He said to preach that doctrine. So I realized, thank God, if my doctrine wasn't right, the church wouldn't be right. And I started preaching doctrine. Got me in trouble, but yeah, I preached the doctrine. Amen. Doctrine of the Word of God will get you in trouble. What you believe will turn people against you, or they'll turn people for you. What you believe. Amen. Now, some of you tonight may not know what you believe. You may not know. Matter of fact, there's a lot of people I don't know what they believe. I hear them one day saying one thing and the next day saying something else, and I don't know what they believe. But if you don't have your doctrine right, you're not right. If your doctrine's not right, you're not going to live right. If your doctrine's not right, you're going to live in turmoil. And so I believe we need to really look at this. Doctrine is mentioned. I'll give you these scriptures in chapter 1, verse 3. Chapter 1, verse 10. I've given you these before, but I'll do it again. Chapter 4 and verse 6. And chapter 4 and verse 13. Chapter 4 and verse number 16. Chapter 5 and verse number 17. Chapter 6, verses 1 and verses 3. And that's the ones in 1 Timothy. And I could give them to you out of 2 Timothy in the book of Titus. All three of these deal with doctrine. Now break this down. Put this in your notes. I want you to get this in your mind. I want you to get this on your paper. I want you really to get it down in your heart. I want you to be able to go to this and look at it. There are 6 chapters in the book of 1 Timothy. And we'll look at this. And he's wanting sound doctrine. 2 times in the chapter 1, I mentioned it just a minute ago, but look at this in your Bible. The Bible said in verse 3 of 1 Timothy, and then I'll give you the other. He said, as I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus, when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they what? Teach no other doctrine. Now there's no other doctrine. Amen. But the doctrine of God that mounts and counts tonight. Now, when we talk about other doctrine there, and then in verse number 10, Paul says to him, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine. Now we've got people, and when I get there, I've decided this is going to be a series. Amen. We're not going to get out of this tonight either. So if you're already bored with it, you're going to be bored for a while. Because I'm going to look at this scripture. You see tonight, he's named some things, and he's named it in verses prior to that I have not read, but I will read. And he's telling us tonight that those things are not sound doctrine. And so when you got people in a church that believes one thing on one side of the church, and somebody else believes something else on the other side of the church, when somebody in the back believes something that the one in the front don't believe, we've got problems. Amen. And I want to talk about that issue tonight, and I want to deal with it. But we'll see this in chapter number 1 of the book of 1 Timothy. We'll find that Paul is dealing with sound doctrine, and when he goes into it, he's defending it. Chapter 1 defends sound doctrine. Now, if it's not sound, it's corrupt. If it's not sound doctrine, it's defiled. If it's not sound doctrine, it's false doctrine. We've got a lot of false doctrines running up and down our country. There's a lot of false religions, period. And we're not in here tonight to talk about false religions. I'm talking about false doctrines. Some of the false religions, their doctrine's going to be wrong anyhow. But what bothers me is we got Baptist churches up and down our country. I know more about the Baptists than I do anything else. I'm a Baptist because it's my choice. And I believe it's the closest thing to the Word of God, or I'd find something else. Amen. And I threatened to do that a few times, but there ain't nothing else out there. Amen. That's as close to the Bible as what I found the Baptists to be. And I'm ashamed of the Baptists and some of the errors that they believe. But when I look at this tonight, I look at the doctrines that they have and see it. Brother, I've come to the place that we need to recognize what doctrine really is and what our basic fundamentals are. And we are talking about sound doctrine. Now in chapter 1, Paul is trying to defend sound doctrine. You said defend it? Yes, sir. I believe everybody in this building ought to defend sound doctrine. It's getting away from us. We better guard it. Amen. This church is a little bit unusual from some of them. Thank God for that. I believe it holds the sound doctrine, the Word of God. You may not agree with everything I preach. You may not agree with everything somebody says in the church. But I want to tell you, I believe basically tonight, the bottom line is, I believe we have some sound doctrine here at this church. And I believe you believe in sound doctrine and hold to that. But as we look at this, we need to earnestly contend for the faith, as Jude said. Now I believe tonight when we have doctrine, we need to have unity in doctrine. So in this first chapter, he's defending the doctrine, sound doctrine. And I believe we need to have some unity in it. Amen. And when I say unity in our doctrine, that means we need, all of us, need to stand for that doctrine. What we believe at this church, we need to stand for it. Do you hear me tonight? I'm afraid some of us might not stand for it. If the going got a little tough and the going got a little rough, and somebody started saying something about it, or if they started picking at us and putting us in jail, would you stand for what you believe? And if you believe it right, you'll stand for it. But if you're wobbly and wibbly and wishy-washy, as that old fellow said, you may not stand for it. You'll give in and quit. But we not only need to stand for it, we need to preach it. We don't need to be ashamed of the right doctrine. I'm not ashamed of what I believe. I'm not ashamed of what my Bible has taught me. I'm not ashamed of it. That's the reason I enjoy preaching it, because I know I'm on the right side. Now, if I had a little question mark in my mind, and if I wonder if a few things is right and wrong, I might not preach them, but I preach what I believe. Amen. And it's a whole wide spectrum of it. And I believe tonight we ought to defend sound doctrine. Not only should we stand for it and preach it, but I believe tonight we ought to practice our sound doctrine. Amen. We ought to practice it. We ought to live like we believe what we say we believe. There's too many times that we've got two different standards. We say one thing and do another. We say we believe this, but yet we do after other things. So we not only need to practice it, we need to fight for it. Amen. We'll see some reasons for that in a little while, or maybe in another message. But we'll need to fight for it.
If you believe what we're preaching at this church tonight is correct, and it's sound doctrine, and it's Bible doctrine, and it's God's doctrine, and it's oriented from heaven, and it's inspired doctrine, then I believe tonight you ought to be willing to stand for it. You ought to be willing to preach it. You ought to be willing to practice it. You ought to be willing to fight for it. And if it had to be, you ought to be willing tonight to die for it. Amen. I'm wondering how many of God's people would be willing to die for sound doctrine. So in chapter 1, and we're going to go back and look at this in just a little bit. He's defining sound doctrine, or defending sound doctrine. In chapter number 2, he's talking about sound duty. It's what we do, and we won't spend much time on that now, because it's going to be another message. But what he does is he defines, in chapter 2, Paul defines what sound duty is. Our duty is to pray. We're going to look at that. And so he gives that duty in chapter number 2. So it's sound duty defined. When you get to chapter number 3, God gives us sound direction. And that sound direction is delivered. And that's why he chose out the bishops and chose out the deacons, so that they can give sound direction. Every church needs leaders in the church. Amen. And we're going to talk about that in just a little bit more. Then in chapter number 4, he deals with sound deportment. That's how you live. That's how you walk. And when he deals with sound deportment, he declares that we ought to have sound deportment. Amen. We ought to not just say we talk it. We ought to go walk it and tell and show people what we believe. In chapter 5, he talks about sound discipline. And he describes what sound discipline is. Then he tells them what the church is supposed to do. That you don't take in younger women who are widows. You take in the older ones. The younger ones on wax wanting and get married. And he talks about all these tonight. And you talk about rebuking sin, those who sin before others, that they may fear tonight. And he talks about that. So he tries to give some discipline. The church needs some discipline. I know, brother, years ago they'd put people out of the church for certain things. Now you could do anything. Amen. That's right. I read the books of one of the churches I pastored, 1904, 1906. They dismissed two women in the church because they'd missed 3 services without an excuse. Amen. Now, I found out I wouldn't try that practice, never have tried it, because there's a lot of people in the church would look for that excuse. Amen. And some of y'all would lay out just so we'd throw you out. So we're not going to do that. But I'm saying in this modern day, the church, if it don't have no discipline, and most of them don't, anything goes, everything goes. Hey, do what you want to do, that which is right in your own eyes. But the church has to have some discipline. And so we find tonight that it's described what that discipline is. In chapter number 6, he shows the Christians on display. And he talks about the difficulties, and he gives some things which we're going to deal with just a little bit tonight, some of it. And he talks about the difficulties in the church that are discussed. He discusses those. Now we look at those things tonight. It's a blessing to understand what God wants. So basically, 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy and Titus, but particularly tonight, 1 Timothy, since that's one we're in. 1 Timothy deals with tonight the house of God and the man of God that's in the house of God. That's basically what 1 and 2 Timothy deals with. Paul is getting on the case of Timothy. Amen. He's not only on just the preachers, he's on the deacons. And so that's the leaders, and so he looks at them. Now jot this down tonight in your notes. I want to give you 3 things that really hinders a church from going forward. 3 things that'll hold a church back. 3 things that'll slow a church down. 3 things that can stop it dead in its tracks, and it becomes complacent and it won't move forward. I'm going to give you these 3 things tonight that hinders it. Number 1, When false doctrine comes into the church, and when the beliefs are not the same, then we find tonight the church is hindered. I had a church I was pastoring one time, and the deacons believed different than I believed. I found that out after I got there. I inherited it. And they had one of the deacons that's teaching the Sunday school class of the young people in the back. Everybody liked him. That's the bad thing about some of our churches tonight. And I want to be honest, and I'm not trying. I have no criticism. I have nothing tonight. I have nothing to fight anybody for. I'm at the end, close to my journey, and I ain't got no reason to be upset at anybody. But I want to tell you tonight that there are some things that we need to make sure of, and that's that we read off the same page and sing off the same verse. Amen. And so we look at these things. But that deacon, he taught the young people. And by the way, some of these that get in those classes and teach the young people, and sometimes the preacher don't even know what's going on in their classes. Amen. And then they're that way. Well, what's happening? The young folks got to telling me that he was teaching opposite of what I was preaching in the pulpit. Now that shows a double standard. It also gives confusion. It also will slow a church down and stop it dead in its tracks. And so what's happened is he is teaching some things that I was standing in the pulpit preaching, and he was preaching it opposite. So he come to visit me one night. And he's the one that set me down. And he said, "Preacher, I want to come talk to you." And I said, "All right." He said, "I just want to tell you that you and your wife are a blessing to me." Amen. They always start good like that, you know. "I love you and pinch the daylights out of you. Stomp your feet or something." Well, he said, "Preacher," he said, "I love to hear you and your wife sing." He said, "I love to hear you sing." He said, "To tell you the truth, I could hear you and sit and listen to you and your wife sing all night long." Now, if you tell me that tonight, I'm not staying here all night to sing to you. But I'll say this, you're shallow if singing stirs you more than preaching. Amen. And if you can get fed more than that, listen, I believe in good singing. I believe in good gospel hymns, but it's not through the foolishness of singing that God saves. It's through the foolishness of preaching. And so he said to me, and that's, he actually finally, all those things he's saying, since I hadn't got mad yet, and he done got the ice broke, and he done patted me on the back, and he done got me to eating out of the trough. Next thing he said is this, "Tell you the truth, preacher, I love you singing, but I despise your preaching." That's what he said. Now that's straight. My wife was there. She flat out just sitting on the couch. I wanted to pick the hymn and the couch and all and throw it out the door, but I didn't. And I said, "I know that. I understand that." And so you said, "What'd you do?" "Didn't do nothing." "Well, what'd you do?" "Amen." Let him. But I did tell him, "Hey, man, we did not want a division from the Sunday school room to the pulpit." You can fight that tonight. But when you've got false doctrine, if I'm preaching one thing and you're preaching something else, one of us is wrong or both of us is wrong. Both of us can't be right. There's not but one Bible, one way. So God's got that. So we find tonight that there's false doctrine. Number one, will slow the church down. Number two, a failure to pray. Without prayer tonight, it'll slow the church down. Without prayer, it'll stop the church. Without prayer, it will hinder the church. The church will never be what God wants it to be till we agonize and supplicate. I didn't say suffocate. We're already doing that. Supplicate, that means we're serious-minded. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The church needs to pray. Were you with me? So false doctrine will hinder it. Number two, a failure in prayer will do it. And you'll find these in the first three chapters of the book of 1 Timothy. Chapter 1 is the doctrine. Chapter 2 is prayer. And the third thing that'll slow the church down, that'll hinder the church, stop it dead in its tracks, is the lack of leadership or feeble leadership. If a church has no leadership, a church that hasn't had a pastor for 6 months, I know some that hadn't had a pastor for a year, and sometimes they go longer than that and they just can't find one. Something's wrong when a church goes and cannot find a man of God. Amen. They're out there. They're few and far between, but they're out there. Matter of fact, some of those people tonight that have gotten some good preachers, and I know they're good men, and I've sent them some of them I mean recommended. And they've gone over there and they didn't like them. Didn't like them because they preached too hard. Didn't like them because they told the truth. And so what I'm trying to tell you tonight, feeble leadership will slow a church down, will stop a church. And so chapter 3 deals with the pastor and he deals with the deacons and he's talking about leadership. So them three things will hinder the church. And they're found in the first three chapters. Now the last three chapters deal with something else. They're not what hinders the church, but yet will hinder the church. I'm going to give you three things that'll hinder the preacher. Three things that'll stop him. Three things that'll slow him down. Three things that will bring the church in trouble. Number one, jot this down. A failure in doctrine. Go to chapter 4. It goes right back basically where we were before. In chapter 4, verses 1 through 16, he said, let's read this first verse. He said, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils." Now that's poor leadership if you're going to get that in your church. And the poor leadership and a feeble leadership in there, he's bringing in bad doctrines. What they're going down to say is they're forbidding to marry. Say you can't eat in certain meats. And we find all that tonight. And so you find these people get on these little rat trails. And they start looking at things. Now you can do what you want to tonight. I realize that we ought to eat good and correct. Amen. But I'm not a herb man. I don't eat roots, herbs. Amen. And I know I eat things that ain't, I guess, good for me sometimes. But I'm not one that runs up and down the road looking like I'm about dead because I read bodily exercise profiteth little. Amen. I know some right now died younger than I died and had daily physical fitness programs and run every morning when they got up. And I said to myself, they run themselves in the grave. Amen. You said, "Preacher, don't you think we ought to have some kind of fit?" Why? Let me tell you something. I'm 70 years old. God said the score of this thing is 70. I've got the years in that God said we could have. Not all of us can have that. So what if I live to be 85? Bodily exercise. So I've come through this thing one time. Now I'm not going to eat poison tonight. And I'm not going to try to glutton out. I always try to stop one bite this side of gluttonous. You understand what I'm saying? Now I see these fellas running up the road. I seen a woman the other day. I mean, here she was running. And boy, she had a sweat towel around her neck and seen a feller coming not too far back behind. And he's going. And I said, man, you better slow down. You're going to die. And I just kept a driving. Amen. And so tell me, if you can prove to me and you can show me, it may be too late now, but if you can show me tonight that I start eating certain things according to your calculations and start eating roots and seeds, amen, and all I eat is pumpkin seeds and everything else, and you can prove to me that's going to add 15 years to my life, I'll go get a truckload of pumpkin seeds tomorrow. Amen. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Now what's happened? Our churches have got into all these things. They're more concerned about the physical fitness of every individual in the church. And they have all kinds of little seminars and little, and churches are everywhere are getting walk trails and boy, ain't that what we're supposed to do? God said to establish that in the church and make sure you get it all right. You got to eat the right thing. No. You ought to have sense enough to know you. There are certain things you can't. There are some things I won't eat. I like them, but they don't do me good. Amen. There are certain things I know going to give me indigestion and I'd rather sleep at night. So I leave it alone. Every once in a while I'll indulge in it just to make sure my body hadn't changed. And one of them's onions. I love onions. Boy, I tell you what, when I eat onions, I like to eat onions. I don't like just two bites of an onion and be done with it. I mean, I eat an onion. I can take a whole Vidalia one, amen, right quick. Slice her up, eat it up. I mean, get the hamburger and let the onion be twice the size of the hamburger meat. I love onions. But just as soon as I eat them, they start wrestling. And they start fighting. And I lay down at night and they fight all night. They wake me up. And I say, well, I ain't got used to them yet. And I don't eat them unless I just eat a little bit. Yeah, I guess it's because I don't eat them in moderation, but somebody said, and I got to where I will eat them just a little bit. But just a little bit gives me some problem. Now, there's things like that. There are certain things I can't eat because I know it's going to make my sugar level high. I know it's going to make my blood pressure go up. And so I try to watch that and not, but hey, it's not because God said it. It's just because my body is made a little bit different than yours, even though it's made out of the same stuff. God just got me out of a different mud pile. Made me on the left side, made you on the right side. Amen. He turned around on some of us and got mud from behind. And some of us got mud from the front. Dust, I'm talking about. And so we're all made out of the same stuff, but we don't have all the same DNA and all the same things. You with me? Amen. That doctor told me down yonder, he said, you got to lose some weight. And I did. I lost some weight after I had my first heart attack. I do need to lose some weight. I agree with that tonight. You don't have to say amen. I know I do. But I lost 50 pounds. And then had another heart attack. And you said you just didn't wait long. Well, I went back to the doctor. See, doctors, all they want is money. They like that. I mean, I went back to the doctor. And every 3 months, I was going to the doctor. Went to the heart doctor, walked in there one day. And he looked at me and he said, and I'd done lost 50 pounds. He said, you're going to have to lose some weight. I said, doctor, I've lost 51 pounds. He said, looked at it, he said, oh, I've got you confused with another patient. And when he told me that, I thought, what's he doctoring me for? You understand that? Well, if he don't even know me, and I done lost that. And then he said, we want to keep you alive. And I said, there's one in heaven that can keep me alive. And he's not going to let me get out of here till he gets through with me. And I'll tell you that. Amen. Anybody else? Now, I may be helping him out a little, but he still knows the number goes on my tombstone. I'm not going to surprise God with anything. And I've already had more life than I needed. I've already had more life than I deserved. I was in line with a fella trying to get something to eat. He's older than I am. I don't know what he was, what his age is, but he looked at me and he said, I said, how you doing? He said, better than I deserve. I said, that's right. We'd all say that. And so I look at this and I look at that and I say, well, these doctors, they think they can keep you alive. They can do all that stuff to you. But it's only God that knows how to turn the ticker off. Amen. Well, I know how to turn it off. And I'm not going to help him with it. But he's the only one that can really do it. Amen. Even sometimes people try to commit suicide and can't even do that. Right? Now you said, preacher, you're off the track. Well, I'm talking about churches got the problem that they want to get involved in that. What's our duty tonight? Preaching the Word of God, trying to win the lost to Jesus. And we lose sight of that, we're in trouble. The second thing tonight that causes problems with the preacher to slow him down and to hinder him. Not only tonight is a failure to have the right doctrine, or a failure in his doctrine, but secondly is a failure in his duty. Look at chapter 5. Of course, you know what, everybody's got an idea what the duty of the preacher is. Cuts the grass if he has to, mop the floor if he needs to be, clean out the toilets if it has to be, go see this when it has to. Make sure this is done over yonder. That's not what the pastor's job is. I've done a lot of that. I've knocked on doors. I'm not bragging. I'm not doing. But I want to tell you something. I'll guarantee you tonight I've knocked on more doors than anybody in this building. I'm not lying. I put my track record up to that tonight. I've been at more homes than you've been in. Down through the years. And I'm talking about just going to see them to eat devil's food cake and drink Coca-Colas and drink coffee. I've been on their door, knocking on their door. I've been in more jailhouses than most of you have. I preached on the street more than most of you. I'm not bragging about it. I'm just trying to tell you that is not really tonight what all the duty of the preacher. His job is to preach the Word of God, and give out the gospel. Amen. Now, people don't like that. Preacher, so-and-so stumped their toe, and you hadn't been down to see them. And I break my foot. And you expect me to preach on a crutch? I have done that. Amen. I broke my leg one time, my ankle, playing in the backyard with the young people. We was playing roller bat. How many knows what roller bat is? Yeah. You know, when you get in and you throw the ball up and you whap that thing and they way out, you want to knock that thing, you want to get it way out yonder. Because they're going to take that ball, you lay your bat down, they're going to take that ball and roll it down. And if they hit that bat, they get to go in and you got to go run the ball. And I had determined that I was not going to get out. And so I throwed that ball, that took a while to get in there. Throwed that thing up and I knocked it and it went away out yonder and they got it and missed the bat. And I said, glory. I'm in the backyard playing with church folks in my 30s. I throwed that ball up. I said, I'm going to knock her out. And I swung around, hit that bat, and I swung. And I'm not going to show you how. It didn't work that night either. I hit that ball, and she went away, I chunder. And I hit the ground. I kept a swinging. The bat kept a going. And I'm laying on the ground, and they're throwing the ball, and it went right by my head. And I said, ooh. And they come over and got me up, and I'm standing there. And I'm saying, ooh, I believe I turned that foot over. I believe I turned that foot over. And I kept a hopping a long way to the house. And I said, I don't believe I can do this anymore. And I went to walk into the house, and I walked all the way back to the house. That thing started getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and they decided I need to go to the hospital. And I went to the hospital on a Saturday night now. And that doctor said to me, he said, preacher, he said, I hate to tell you, but you got yourself a nice broke leg. I said, do what? He said, your leg is broke. And he said, we've already got some fractures, and it was one of them athletic nights, and they already had some football players in there. And of course, they took precedence over the preacher. And he said, we can't even put a cast on it. He said, I'm going to wrap it up in the ace bandage and send you to a doctor on Monday. And I said, doctor, can I preach tomorrow? He said, I want you to go home, get off that foot, elevate it for 24 hours. I said, hey, I want to preach in the morning. He said, all right, do it at your own risk. He said, yeah, you can preach in the morning, but you get out of the pulpit and go home and lay down again for another 24 hours. You said, you preach? Son, I couldn't get out of the bed on Sunday morning. It hurt. I've been up all night. It hurt. I went to the doctor, and while I'm waiting for the first time, here it is, stuck out there, and some woman comes in, trips over the thing, and they're going to kill me. And I go in and see the doctor, and I sit on the side of the bed, and he said, stand up. I said, it hurts. He said, stand up. And I stood up, and I looked, and he got the machine, and he said, yeah, the x-ray says it's broken. It's broke right here. One of them bones is broken. He said, it didn't come out of place. It just broke it. And I said, are you going to put a cast on it? He said, no. We're going to wrap it in an ace bandage. I said, I thought that they put cast on broke. He said, yeah, everybody around here runs to the chiropractor for everything. And if you want to run the chiropractor, help yourself. But it's broke. And I don't, he said, I spent 8 years in trying to get an education. He said, I'm an orthopedic surgeon. And I said, well, what do I do? He said, walk on crutches. I didn't preach Sunday night, but come Wednesday night, I'm up on crutches. Glory! Praise God! I'd hang on them crutches. I don't know why I'm telling all that tonight. I'm just telling you this, much to let you know our duties. Sometimes we don't know what our duties are. Hey, somebody gets specific sometimes. The preacher's duty is this, the preacher's duty is that, the preacher's duty is this other. But it don't make much difference when I get up and tell you what the church member's duties are. You pay me no attention. Just like it didn't happen, but there's some duties. When the duty of the pastor gets out of line. Number three, the pastor's diligence. And when I look at this tonight, let me just give you this. It's found in chapters 4, 5, and 6. And to better understand and explain what I'm saying, let me give you this. A good minister, look at chapter 4, please, and verse number 6. I'm going to close this in just a minute because I got a lot of preaching to do on this. And so I'm just going to unhitch tonight. and we'll come back and pick up some more later. Chapter 4, verse 6 said, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a, what's that? What kind of minister? God minister. He said, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, what? Abstaining from meats and exercise and all that. He said, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. See, he wants us to have, be a good minister with good doctrine. Now, we find that tonight in chapter number 4, we find the walk of the minister, the walk of the preacher. He talks about the walk of the man of God in chapter 4. In chapter number 5, he talks about the work. That's his duty. The work of the preacher. And he's given this challenge, and Paul's very strong. You think sometimes the preacher gets hard on you. God's got some hard words in here for the preacher. He really has. God expects a lot out of the preacher. And he looks at these things, and we see it. Chapter number 6, it deals with the preacher's warfare. How he fights the good fight of faith. So we see this tonight. God deals with, hey, did you know tonight that there's not any other books in the Bible other than 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and Titus that goes down the line to tell how the man of God ought to walk and how it gets so strong on him and how the church ought to position itself and do in the world. Those are the pastoral epistles, and God has got a lot in there. Now we see tonight that the doctrine, let me give you three things about this and I'll close. Number one, there can be a corruption of doctrine, and that can be a corruption of the truth. We didn't have a corruption. What's corruption? You know what corruption is? You get an old sore and you mash it. Corruption. Nasty, bad. Corruption's bad stuff. And so God says that our truth can be corrupted. He can mix it with a little bit of error. What makes the power of a liar, gives the power of a lie, is the truth that the devil puts in it. The devil feeds us just enough truth and a lie to make us believe it. And we know a little bit of it's true, the rest of it we don't know, so we'll accept it because we know the truth that's in it. There's corruption of truth. Secondly, we not only can corrupt the truth, but we can deny the truth. You ever hear these folks on the church pew said, well, the preacher preaches this, but I believe. Well, I know what the preacher said, but I'm not sure it says. You know what that is? That's denying the truth. Now, you can deny it. You can corrupt it. And third, you can plain out reject it. I know God said it. I know that's what the Bible says, but I am not going to do it. And if you're going to deviate from any of the truth at all, it'll be in one of them three areas of your life. Does that make sense? Trying to give it to you to help you. I'm going to stop there. I thought I'd go back and talk about the doctrines. Somebody said, oh, our church has got good doctrine. Well, would you name me some doctrines we have? Did you know a lot of people in the Baptist church don't even know what the Bible doctrines are? What is Bible doctrine? It's what the Bible says. Well, do anybody know? And I guess most of you do. At least I would think you do. You can name a few of what we call the fundamentals of the faith. What are some things the Bible teaches that a church has got to preach and believe? And I'm going to take. I've never in my life took as much time as I'm going to take on trying to establish what the doctrines of the local church are. Most of our churches are operating off of what we want to do. Amen. Oh, we ought to have sanctified Sunday school teachers. Amen. Well, praise God, if we're going to have much kind we want. Hey, I believe God wants it. Hey, let me tell you, did you know Sunday school didn't start till the 1800s? Paul had no Sunday school. Now, I'm not advocating stopping Sunday school. Amen. If you want more of the Bible, you'll show up for Sunday school. I'm telling you. I believe tonight, as we look into the Word of God, there's a lot of things that we do. That's not even mentioning the Word of God. There's nothing wrong with doing them. But we call them doctrines. That's not doctrines. I want to talk about Bible doctrines that I said a while ago we ought to stand for, we ought to preach, we ought to fight for them, and we ought to die for them. Now, what are those that we ought to be willing to die for? I don't know, preacher. What are they? Come back later, and I'll tell you. Heads bowed, eyes closed.